Attention Buck fans, all my friends at Bill Curry Ford have a huge buyback sale going on right now through Monday, October 28th. They're buying cars up to $4,000 over Kelley Blue Book value.
How much, Ira?
$4,000. That's great value for your trade-in. Get shopping now at BillCurryFord.com or at the dealership, just a punt north of the stadium on Dale Mavery. Remember, huge buyback sale ends Monday. And don't forget the Bill Curry Ford Nationwide Lifetime Warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford.
Now, Ira, you said a punt north of the stadium. Who's going to be punting?
Well, if I know the Bucks against the Titans defense, they're going to be punting about 8 times on Sunday.
This Sunday, I will be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Largo, Omerton Road. Come join me, fans, at the Largo Mall. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. I'm going to be there early, eating my favorites on the Buffalo Wild Wings menu, maybe a little Philly cheesesteak. You never know. And I'm going to be talking Buck football with as many fans as I can find. It's always a fun time with me and great Buck fans around town. I can't wait to meet them. You can watch all the games on the big screen. If the Bucks get down by 20 at halftime, you can watch another 1 o'clock game. I'll see all you Buck fans Sunday at Buffalo Wild Wings, Largo, Omerton Road.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
And we want to thank our friends at Pin Chasers, their 60th anniversary. Congratulations to them. Great place to bowl. Just really a great place to get out and have fun. Join Pin Chasers Sunday nights, 9 o'clock. Unlimited bowling, cyber bowling, lots of fun. $2 Blue Moons, $3 cocktails. Go to pinchasers.net for all the details. And their huge party, save the date, November 3rd. The 60th anniversary party. They're going to have 60-cent games, 60-cent fries, 60-cent hot dogs, sodas. It's going to be one heck of a party at Pin Chasers.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the world-renowned, the international popular Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the one and only Ira Kaufman. Ira, this wonderful day today. We're in Florida. We live where people pay to go to, pay to visit. How are you doing on this beautiful day, this Chamber of Commerce day? Can you get over the fact that the Bucks are playing another backup quarterback? Does this beautiful weather make you think of more like puffy white clouds and balloons?
DeKemper, not even you could spoil my mood today, DeKemper. My Sixers opened up their NBA season with a thumping of the Boston Celtics. Anytime my Sixers beat the Celtics, it's a cause for celebration. I'm very, very psyched about the 76ers. I believe they will get out of the Eastern Conference this year and be a legitimate contender for the NBA championship. But I know we are not talking about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid on this podcast. That's for another day. What we are talking about is Jameis Winston and a Bucks defense that is, again, facing a quarterback that didn't start in week one of this season. Yeah. Here we go again.
Yeah, this is the fourth quarterback the Bucks have played in 7 weeks. First 7 games, the fourth quarterback the Bucks are facing that was not the starting quarterback when their respective teams broke training camp.
When you say that on paper, that should tell you that the Bucks are sitting at 4-2 going to Nashville. But we know that that is not the case. Here comes Tannehill. Now, to call him a backup to Mariota, that could be a stretch because he might be better than Mariota.
Yeah.
He played well last week, threw for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. They beat a bad Chargers team, and were lucky to do so. I continue to say, Lee, until proven wrong, this is a very mediocre Titans team. The game's in Nashville. Tennessee's favored. Look, they do certain things well. They got a good defense. They haven't given up more than 20 points in any of their first 7 games. Oh. Not more than 20. Now, they haven't played, you know, the New England Patriots or the Chiefs or whatever.
Or the Saints, even.
Or the Saints. But still, that's impressive. They run the ball well, but I think it's a good matchup, Lee, for one basic reason. The Bucks have one weakness, and it's a hell of a weakness. They can't stop the pass.
No.
Can't stop it. But, you know, other than Adam Humphries, who Buck fans know well, you can't name the Corey Davises and the other dreck that they throw out there.
Well, Derrick Henry's a pretty good ball player.
Well, I mean, as targets.
Okay.
As targets, yeah. Downfield. This is not a high-powered offense. It's just not. So their biggest weakness matches up with the Bucs' biggest weakness. And I'll tell you what, Lee, if the Bucs aren't helping them out by giving them short fields with all kinds of giveaways, if they're not doing that, and Tennessee puts up 30 points on this team, that will be totally inexcusable, and Todd Bowles will have a lot of explaining to do.
Well,
a lot of it.
I wrote about this earlier in the week on JoeBucksFan.com. You're the Glazer family. Arians came here in part because he wanted to have X amount of coaches on his staff. He was granted his wish.
He got everything he wanted.
Yeah, and that's coming out of you-know-whose checkbook, the Glazer family. If you're shelling out all this money for a platoon of coaches, and your defense is giving up 300 yards of passing, you got to think to yourself, what the hell is going on?
And 30 points a game.
You could have stuck around with Mark Duffner and done better, which they did. I mean, it's outrageous. And the Bucs, every home game, they bring in high school coaches of the week, like four high school coaches of the week. They give them plaques, honor them on the field. Instead of giving them plaques, they need to give them freaking interviews. As bad, I mean, think about it. A high school coach can get hired, work for $5,000, and have a pathetic defense like that.
That's strong stuff, Lee. That's strong stuff. Now, I will say this on the other side of the coin, and it's worth mentioning. Win this game, which I believe you should. I think they have a more talented roster than the Titans. I'm sorry, I do, in most areas. Win the game, you're 3-4. Hey, Seattle's tough. They're at home. The Bucs will be prohibitive underdogs. But you know what? Seattle's lost two home games.
Yes.
They've lost two. They're vulnerable. This is not the Legion of Doom over here, or Boom, or whatever you want to call it. They're vulnerable. If you're 3-4, you got a little momentum. You have a little confidence. Pierre Paul might play. Maybe plays well. He plays a little bit more in Seattle. He's more of a factor. You're relevant for at least another week. And you might be a buyer at the trade deadline,
yeah,
which you'd have 48. Now, Lee, can you imagine the flight from Nashville to Tampa, depending on whether you win or lose this game? Brian Glazer's sitting up front. He's coming back to Tampa.
He wouldn't take Southwest?
And he's right there on the charter flight with Arians and Light and Greenberg and whatever the other decision makers there are. You're 3-4. Not only that, you're 3-1 on the road. You're 3-1 on the road. Well, we don't talk about the Bucs being 3-1 on the road.
We never talk about them being 3-1 at home.
So now the conversation is, you know, Brian over to Brian to Light and Arians. Guys, what do you need? What are we going to go after on the trade deadline? Who's available? What are we willing to give up? Now flip the script. You're 2-5. Now you're heading to Seattle.
Yeah.
You're on the balls of your ass. How do you like that, DeKemper?
Oh.
You're on the balls of your ass. You've lost three in a row. You got to go to Seattle. History tells us you're 2-5. You're toast. You are done. Buck Nation will be up in arms. And now the conversation. Brian to Jason, you know, and Bruce. Well, who are people interested in off our team? And do you think we can get some good draft picks going into 2020? For our guys, and who's untouchable, and who should we listen to, and we got 48 hours to stockpile draft picks. I mean, that is a very different conversation, Lee. I guess what I'm saying is, I'm going to say it flat out like I like to say in some of these podcasts, Lee, and I like to knock you off your chair. Lee, this is the biggest game that Bruce Arians has faced as a head coach since he was in the NFC Championship game with the 2015 Cardinals, and they got their ass kicked by Carolina in that game. And you know what? The Cardinals were never the same. They were mediocre those final 2 years. This is the biggest game Arians is facing since then. Let's see how they respond.
I will agree with you. That's clearly a biggest game he's had as Bucs coach. I'm going to throw something out there. I hate to say it, and I like the guy a lot, but I also live in reality. If the Bucs are sellers, buyers or sellers, if Jason Light, the Bucs general manager, stays status quo, partially because of the coveted draft picks, and the Bucs fall off the map, someone else could be making those draft picks for him.
That's not bad, Lee. You've got to be a buyer or a seller, yeah. But status quo doesn't get the job done.
Status quo is actually irresponsible right now for this team. Now, I know the secondary is a cluster. I get that. You know, people are speculating that a Miami running back is there for the taking for the Bucs. I would suggest Xavier Howard, cornerback, is there for the taking. We all know Miami's on a fire sale. If it takes a second-round pick, shoot, if it takes a first-round pick, I'd go get Howard. If you got to get a first-round pick, get something else in return, okay.
Not just for the rest of this season, but no. Going forward.
Thank you.
Because you're not going to pay Vernon Hargraves in 2020.
Yeah,
you're
he's
not
going to
do it.
He's gone. And I've harped up on this before. Where are these rookie corners? Now, I know Murphy Bunting, he's getting a lot of snaps at slot.
You want to see Dean. You want to see Bunting.
Well, they didn't draft Bunting to be a slot corner. They drafted him to be full-time, I would think. If they drafted him to be a slot corner in the second round, the Glazers got some questions that need to be answered. But where are they? Well, I know sometimes it takes time to develop. If they win a game, the time is now. It's not next year. It's not 2 years from now. If they're not ready, they're not ready. That adds to the fuel they need to trade for a corner.
Lee, along those lines, cornerback coach Kevin Ross, who was a very good one,
Chiefs,
for
right?
my Chiefs, yeah. and he played with some great guys in the secondary, like Albert Lewis, who, you know, belongs in the Hall of Fame conversation. He was that good.
That was their secondary.
Yeah, that was a secondary. What's going on with the cornerback position? Lee, you know what's going on? They got beat, and they lost confidence. That's what's going on.
You know?
And they're not playing physical, and they're not playing aggressive, and it's all about confidence at the corner position. Part of it could be quarterbacks have had more time in the last 2 weeks without Shaq Barrett going crazy. And when quarterbacks have more time, the cornerbacks' job's a lot harder. But
sure.
The fact remains that Bowles and Arians, and especially Arians, is throwing around words like soft and more physical. And if you're not going to play the defense, the kind of scheme that Todd Bowles wants, you put somebody else in there that will.
Yeah.
And Buck fans have seen this, you know, 8-yard passive cornerback play.
They're done with it.
For way too long.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable.
I'm going to tell you how astute you are, Mr. Kaufman. This week I was talking to Sean Murphy Bunting for a story I'm going to do on JoeBucksFan.com. Unfortunately, I urinated away a whole freaking day yesterday in a doctor's office. Literally, like over seven hours in the freaking doctor's office. Isbitz told me, he goes, I hope they fed you at least, which they didn't. But at any rate, I was talking to Sean Murphy Bundy, and I was trying to find a polite way. There really is none. But I was trying to find a polite way to ask him, don't you need to be on the field? Don't you want to get on the field? Why aren't you on the field? I think I asked him politely. I can't remember how I did it. But if you go up there like, why the hell aren't you on the field? You're probably going to get punched. So you have to be soft about it. And he said he's battling with confidence. What did you just say? Confidence. And I said, oh, really? And I asked him, I said, well, I know they probably preached you in high school. They probably preached you in college. Forget the last play, because the next play, you can make a pick. It's a play-by-play league. And he said, yeah, they've been preaching that to me all through high school, all through college. But it's a different animal up here in the NFL. So that told me a couple things. One, that he did lose confidence. Number two, he's still getting used to the NFL, meaning he may not be ready to play full-time corner to replace Hargraves. So I think your comment about confidence, I think, is like a home run comment, because that's exactly what Murphy Bunting was talking about.
You know, Lee, the more we're around sports, and you and I have been around it a long time, and I'm not 90 like you and Isbitz try to claim, but I've been around. And I've been watching.
So you didn't know Sammy Ball in the first game base?
I've been watching sports for 55 years. Is that enough for you? 55 years. And, Lee, the more we're around it, we realize you cannot overstate confidence as maybe the premier factor in sports. I'll give you an example. I play tennis. I watch a lot of tennis. You start missing shots, and now you're pushing the ball, and you don't trust your own shot. You're a pitcher in baseball. You don't have your command. So you're trying to nibble instead of trusting your stuff. Lee, I can't think of a position in pro sports where confidence is more of a component than cornerback in the National Football League. Why? Because the receivers are so good and the rules are structured every freaking year, thank you Rich McKay and company, to help the offense and to increase scoring and to screw with defenses. It's never been harder to play cornerback. Yeah. Even Kevin Ross would tell you it was hard enough in the 90s when he played. Mm-hmm. And now it's infinitely harder. And you're going to get beat. And if you can't throw the other play, the previous play, in the trash bin, you're not going to succeed. And that's what Bunting is talking about. He's not playing college anymore. And these guys that he's playing against, Akron. You know, yeah, he's playing Michael Thomas. That's who he's playing. By the way, Lee, I don't know how you feel. The more I look at the Saints, and he might be the best receiver in football. That guy's phenomenal.
Him and the guy from Houston.
Hopkins.
Yes. Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins.
Thomas. And it doesn't matter who's throwing it to him, Breeze or Bridgewater, he's still a monster out there.
Now, here's a question for you. You brought this up. And by the way, you think we rehearsed that confidence conversation? We did not. I had no idea you were bringing that up. You said you've been watching sports for 55 years.
Yeah.
What's your first vivid memory of a sporting event?
Mary Kay Berkowitz going down the street with a hula hoop, and I've never gotten that image out of my mind. Lee, you threw me off a softball, and I just hit it out of the park. No, I'm going to say something like the 65 World Series.
Koufax
pitching Game 7 against the Twins on 2 days rest. The year that he didn't start Game 1 because of Yom Kippur, which was nobody had ever seen anything like that before. And they lost that game. But now it's Game 7, and he beats them 2-0. The legend of Koufax grew that day. It's never diminished. He's one of the guys, Lee, if you name me, you say, Ira, give me three guys you'd love to have a dinner with. Koufax might be number one.
Wow.
Nobody knows anything about this guy. He never does any interviews. He is a transcendent athlete of his time. He quit when he was 30 years old.
Because his arm was shot, right? Because of his elbow.
Yeah. But nobody does that. He left all the money on the table. And he is a very reclusive figure. And as a Giants fan, it was tough for me to watch Koufax against the Giants. He's just one of those guys. You know, Jim Brown might be another. And by the way, you heard me and Mad Dog go at it yesterday. He's got Jim Brown as the greatest player, and I did not disagree.
Yeah,
Jim Brown, greatest player in NFL history.
And, of course, what's-her-face up at the Washington Post.
And Vernon Hargrave's a close second.
Christine Brennan left Jim Brown off her list.
What?
Yeah.
What did you just say?
Christine Brennan left him off the
Every
list.
Every time I look at television, Christine Brennan's on there weighing in on some kind of topic.
I know.
Now, that's got to be an oversight. It's got to be a mistake.
No, she said that was purposely done.
What? That's another discussion. That's another podcast all by itself.
Well, I don't know if this is going to fuel
your... Because of his off-field issues?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If that's true, Warren Sapp shouldn't have a gold jacket. I mean, this is nonsense. This is crazy. What did the guy do on a football field? What kind of teammate was he? This is just nuts. Brennan, you should be ashamed of yourself, Christine. Ashamed of yourself. That's another whole pie. We might do a whole podcast on that next week.
Man, I got you fired up.
The great Jim Brown? Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. All right, let's move on. Let's talk Bucks. Speaking of confidence.
Well, I know Steve Vesbitz, who edits this, the other Joe on JoeBucksFan.com, he edits this podcast. He's probably screaming at his computer, will you SOBs start talking about the Bucks?
All right, let's get back to confidence. Lee, the confidence of Buck Nation, it's very shaky.
Shot.
Now, it's really going to be shot at 2-5.
I take it back. They're confident that Tannehill's going to do well.
I'm going to go back to something I said the first couple minutes of this podcast. And Lee, you got to agree with me. The facts are the facts. The second half of the schedule is very favorable.
Yeah.
It's very favorable.
That's why they should be buyers if they win Sunday.
There's only one more team on the schedule after Seattle, after the midpoint, that has more four wins.
New Orleans.
And that's New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. More than four wins. Not that that's an advantage.
And they get them at home. But, you know, they have beaten the Saints. They have beaten the
Saints.
Sure
they have.
You know, you wouldn't think they're going to win that game. But if they got something to play for, you never know. You lose this game, you got nothing to play for except 2020.
Draft.
And that's not why Bruce Arians signed up for this job.
You know, that's a great point.
And you're worried about Arians going forward if this team falls apart.
Like I said, I expect him back. Yeah, you know, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say 95% chance Bruce comes back. But as I told a colleague of ours, the Glazers are predictably unpredictable. In addition, they have no problem paying coaches not to work. And I go back to the dark day, Friday afternoon, January 2009. They let Chucky go, who a year prior just signed an extension. There's evidence right there. You know what? This team has never recovered from that. This team is, say what you will about Chucky, he wanted a veteran, whatever. This team has never recovered from that day. And look what he's doing to Oakland. I mean, I'm not saying Oakland's, you know, Oakland's got some good players, don't get me wrong. But do they have as many good players as the Bucks? I don't know. I don't think so. But you know what? He's got them winning.
He just beat the Bears. They got no business beating the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. So he's doing a decent job with what he has. And that's why I still think that if the Bucks pass on Winston, he winds up in Oakland.
Look, Lee, you're going into Nashville. You're going into Music City. You know, don't play a flat note. And by that I mean, Lee, by that I mean, make these clowns go 80 yards for their scoring drives, because Tennessee's not built like that. And I'm not worried about Derrick Henry. This guy's not Ezekiel Elliott. And the Bucks haven't had any problem shutting down elite running backs. And I think it's questionable whether you say Henry's elite. I think he's good. He's very good.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about aspect.
I'm not worried about him either.
Don't give him short fields.
Who was it last game? 99 yards. Carolina, with a backup quarterback, I might add. 99 yards.
That should never happen.
That should never happen.
With never happen.
Never, ever. What in the name of Warren Sapp is going on here?
And on the other side of the ball, Lee, I would not be shocked, and I don't think you would either, if a big part of this game plan, after they've had 2 weeks to look at what have we done well and where have we struggled, how about giving Ronald Jones 18 to 20 carries? Is that a terrible thing, Lee, in your mind?
I wrote it this week on JoeBucksFan.com. Well, it seems like he turned the corner, and good for him. I'm glad. You know, people think, oh, you hate this guy, you hate that guy. I'm all about production. If you're on the Bucks team, I want you to produce. And if you don't produce, out the door you should go. It's all about production with me. Not if I like the guy, not if I drink beer with the guy, which I can't remember if I've ever had a beer with a Bucks player. It's not like I sleep with him. I want production. That's all I want on the field, production. You don't produce, go. So it's not about if I like him or not. And Ronald Jones wasn't producing, and I saw the list of running backs in like last 10 years, second round or higher drafted that produced as little as he did. It was grim. So I thought he was gone. So props to Arians.
But you heard about him all summer long, and you said, let me see.
Yeah, because I also remember this is the same organization that told us how good Doug Martin looked playing in a sandbox. I mean, so, and he's turned the corner, so he should get more carries. I don't want to hear this crap. Oh, he can't pass block. You're sacrificing.
Are you seeing anybody else pass block? I mean, it's a problem right now.
Well, right now, because the right side of the line is a sieve. DeMar Dotson's back to practice. Well,
I mean, running backs pass blocking. They're not excelling at it other than Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
You know who keeps talking about Ronald Jones and giving
his
him
agent?
The ball more? Derek freaking Brooks. And if it's good enough for Derek freaking Brooks, it's good enough for you and I.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but obviously. Brooks watching this team. You know him better than I. You talk to him aside from the identity.
He's got Buck blood in him. Never going to get out of it.
He's got to be galled at what he sees on the pass defense. Warren Sapp is probably so hacked off he has to go fishing. He can't watch it. John Lynch is too busy building his own defense and doing a damn good job.
Remember the story I told you about, I think it was the night Lynch went into the Ring of Honor, and there's Sapp, Lynch, and Brooks. We're watching the game. I think they were playing Atlanta.
Yeah, they're getting torched.
And they couldn't look at the scoreboard because they kept showing the replays of Julio Jones wide open. They couldn't look anymore. And you know what? Deja vu. They got the same feeling right now.
Yeah.
They got to tighten up. Yeah. Or not only Arians' reputation takes a hit, but Todd Bowles never going to get another head coaching job in the league if they don't tighten up.
Not at all. And that brings it back to the Glazers. If you're the Glazers, and once again, you're shelling out all this money, you go up to Bruce Arians, like, why should I bring you back? I can get anybody to do this. And Arians has also told us, meaning he told the public, told Bucks fans, that he needed all these extra coaches to get extra coaching in, and the secondary is worse. And you can argue the secondary is better manned than it was last year because of those draft picks. And it's worse.
And look at it, Lee, from the perspective of Jason Light, and you give Light credit because he never publicly questioned Cutter's coaching staff. You can imagine what was said behind closed doors. You can imagine. But he wasn't going to do it from a podium. But Lee, certainly his argument to the Glazers behind closed doors was, give my guys, meaning my premium draft picks over the last 5 years, give my guys a chance with another scheme and another coaching staff. Well, for a while early this season, that didn't look bad after the Rams game. Hey, you know, they look better.
Well,
but now...
Yeah, better, eh?
They got to turn this around.
Yeah, never mind that Goff threw 500 yards on him. You know, the winning is the greatest perfume. I always say that. You take away two touchdowns in the Bucks,
But Ronald Jones was looking better. Capel was looking better.
I thought you were talking about the secondary. Okay, you're right.
But now there's question marks about O.J. Howard. Of course there's question marks about Winston. Carlton Davis, we don't know what's going on. And all these other guys that you're talking about that they used high draft picks for in the secondary.
I really believe if they went out and got Xavier Howard from the Dolphins, that could be the catalyst for this defense turning around. I really believe that. And like I said earlier, if the Bucs stay status quo, no matter what, win or lose Sunday, the Bucs front office stays status quo, that's just irresponsible. You're either buyers or sellers. I mean, it's to the point where I'm done listening to what the Bucs say this team could do. How many times do we hear it's talented? Where are the wins then? If it's so talented, where are the wins? Oh, we got better coaching. Now, you said earlier, you know, you gave Jason Light props for not calling out Cutter. He didn't come out and call out Cutter, but the implication was clear. It was coaching. They didn't come out and say that, but all, you know, read between the lines, it was obvious. Well, where's this coaching in the secondary? You got better talent, and yet you're worse?
I'm going to give you a guy on each side of the ball, Lee, that I believe needs to step up the most in Nashville. I'm going to go with the obvious, which is number three.
Yeah.
Under center. Needs to bounce back. A horrific game. When Lee DeKemper cannot defend you, and you're Jameis Winston, you've had a horrific
and
game.
And
you never argued against that.
No.
You cannot do that.
You can't do that.
Now, I'm going to look at Devin White, who you'd love to talk about, and I'm not going to argue with you, Lee. He's got to show more. He's got to step up. Didn't play a terrible game in London. Lost track of McCaffrey, which was a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
But we want to see more plays out of him, and it can't start soon enough. Give me two other guys step up.
I'll just say this real quick about White. He's a rookie. He's still green. Remember, he was out for a couple games. So he's learning. But yeah, they didn't draft him to be an okay player, especially at number five, especially the way they hyped him up. My two players, I want to see Ronald Jones on the field, and I'd love to see him get 100 yards rushing. If he gets 100-yard rushing, I dare say the Bucs win.
Good point.
Defensively, Hargraves, be a first-round pick. Shoot, be a fifth-round pick. Don't be a total sieve. Stay on your feet. Don't fall down. If you can stay on your feet and maybe get a pick, I'd say the Bucs are in the game. I would say the Bucs are in the game. But try to be like a first-round pick. Don't try to play like an undrafted free agent. Stay on your feet. Make a play. Please. And I don't want none of this celebrating of an incompletion. Like a ball sails over a receiver's head 10 yards, even though you were burned for 5 yards, and you're jumping up and down waving your arms.
Come on, Lee. You're on a roll. Now, here's a guy I'm a little concerned about. And I bet your Buck fans are worried about it, too. Look, the guy is not Hopkins. The guy is not Michael Thomas. I understand that. The guy's not A.J. Green when A.J. Green's healthy. But Adam Humphries could mess this team up on Sunday.
But he's not doing anything.
But he could.
Yeah, because he could stop a pass.
He's smart.
Yes.
And he knows how to get open, and he never drops a ball. So I'm talking about all those third and sixes, which the Bucs seem to get teams in, and then they can't close the deal because they're stopping the run and getting the good third down situations, and they can't close it.
He's a chain mover.
And he's a chain mover. Third and six, the guy gets an 8-yard completion.
Yeah.
It keeps the defense on the field. It keeps Winston and company off the field. And it keeps the crowd in the game. I'm a little worried about Adam Humphries.
Well, you bring up an interesting point. A lot of Bucs fans and some non-Bucs fans, you know, national writers, they say the biggest mistake the Bucs made in the past year, letting Adam Humphries go. I'll give you my opinion, but
I want
to hear yours.
They're looking
first for
a third receiver. You can't doubt that right now. You can't.
I don't know if I would say it's the worst mistake, and this is why. They replaced Humphries with Godwin. You can't argue with the results. Arians was spot on.
But where's the third option?
Well, there you go. Now, my contention is, you know, right now, you know, they thought Perriman was going to get Perriman's hurt. Then they try to force Scotty Miller upon us, and to a lesser degree, Bobo Wilson. So far, that's been a miserable failure. My contention is
not that Perriman was doing anything.
No, but at least he gets separation. These other guys can't get separation. My contention is, okay, Godwin is shining as a slot, and I'm not one to fix something that's not broken. Godwin's not broken. If anything, that's the one. He may be the best player the Bucs have right now. He's very, very good. So Arians was spot on by putting Godwin at slot. Is it a crime to use Godwin as a wideout and maybe use Howard and or Brate in a slot? I mean, those guys would be mismatches. Is that a crime? I know in a perfect world, in Arian's view, he wants Godwin's slot. And I get that. And the results speak for themselves. But it's not a perfect match right now because you can't find, as you always said, that third receiver. So innovate. Be a little open-minded. Maybe, you know, it's not like Godwin will get no production as a wideout. He's shown he's a good wideout. Maybe not as good as a slot, but he's good. Put him at wideout. Put one of the two tight ends at slot. I still think you can cook with gas.
Part of that, Lee, is showing a little more confidence in your offensive line and being able to get Howard down the field.
You know, that's a fair point.
The guy is never targeted. How's he going to catch balls if you don't target him?
You know, that's a fair point because the right side of the line, as we speak, is a total sieve. There's no depth on this team with offensive line. And that's something Arians was talking about in training camp. We need depth.
And you don't like to talk about the offensive line. You're not big on it.
No, but so if I'm talking about it, you know it's bad. Maybe Arians, in his view, can't use Howard as a slot because he needs him to block it, which he's doing.
In theory, he wants to flood the field. That's the Bruce Arians.
Well,
where's
Brate?
Where's Brate? Making a lot of money. That's where Brate is. I'm a Brate guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to average 16 yards a catch, but he catches everything you throw to him.
He's a touchdown man.
Can you use these tight ends a little bit in the passing game? I mean, Winston needs a little help over
there.
Yeah,
and I always go back to this. People scoff at it. When he was offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, he sure used Heath Miller. And these guys, Brate's like a Heath Miller who can block. Heath Miller was a pretty good pass catcher. Not elite, but a pretty good pass catcher. And, of course, Arians has never had anybody like Howard at tight end. So, but I understand why he's not using Howard. I get that. He needs some backs to protect. And until both Kappa and Dotson are healthy, he's probably not going to use Howard as a slot guy. But that doesn't mean you can't use Brate. That doesn't mean that. So,
well, anyway. What does it tell you that teams are interested in O.J. Howard? I mean, what does that tell you? It tells you that they feel this guy's got untapped potential.
Well, I was talking to O.J. Howard the other day. I haven't written a story up yet. I have a different angle. Everybody was looking for his reaction. Like, oh, my gosh. You know, they were going to trade you. And my question, although it was related to the trade, is quite different. And I'll say the question. And you'll see the answer on JoeBucksFan.com this week. That's called a tease in TV. Ira, that's called a tease. I asked Howard, what's it mean to you that the greatest coach who ever walked the sideline wants you? And you'll read the answer. But, yeah, I mean, my gosh.
I think, you
know, if Belichick wants you, that tells me the team should keep you.
Lee, now, look, you and I haven't been around the guy every day, but my take, my instincts, which you and I rely on our instincts, I think he's confused. I think he's very confused.
I'll agree with that.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Confused, maybe frustrated.
Absolutely
maybe
frustrated.
Maybe frustrated, yeah. Yeah, what's
going on
here? I'm
a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
What's going on here? I'm getting two targets a game? What's going on here?
And well, not only that, you have to wonder if his agent's in his ear.
Is it because they think he's dropping balls? Is he not working hard enough in practice?
Well, now that we don't know because, you know, even though practices are quote-unquote open, the only window we get to see those guys warming up. We don't get to see an actual practice.
We got a problem here. We got a problem with O.J. Howard. There's a problem.
You know, say what you will about Cutter. He got production out of Howard. And by the way, Cutter's close to the unemployment line. You know,
That whole staff.
Yeah, the whole staff's going to be out. You wrote the column about Raheem. Absolutely deserves a second chance. Absolutely.
You know one thing that might be hurting Amaris in retrospect? He's never been a coordinator. He was going to be the Buck defensive coordinator when they made him the head coach.
Yeah.
Now, Lee, couldn't you argue that he did take over the Buck defense?
He did.
But I think it was the year they fell apart and lost 10 straight games.
Halfway through the first year, if I recall correctly, they got rid of Jim Bates because it was terrible. So for a year and a half, well, 2 years and a half, he was defensive coordinator. One was that 10-win, should have been 11-win year, which I say this often. The further away we get from that, the better coaching job that looks. Of course, he was defensive coordinator when everything collapsed and he got fired. So he's got some experience.
I just think he's a different guy. His charisma's off the charts, and I don't think he would get nearly as close with the players the second time around. I think he deserves a shot.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, Ira, and I guess we can close the podcast on this. Let's say the Bucks lose Sunday.
Shame on you.
I know. I hope they win, but you know, I've been conditioned to expect otherwise. You know the Glazers better than anybody in the media. What do you think is going through their minds if they lose? Are they going to have a little conclave, you know, get everybody together and start deciding what the future is? Are they just going to sit back and let Arians work it all out? What are they going to do? What's going to be their strategy?
I think they're all about the trade deadline. I think that's going to be what it's all about. They'll have a 48-hour window, Lee, because I believe it's late Tuesday afternoon. The game ends late Sunday. 48 hours to decide and chart the future of this franchise. And I think on something like that, they are going to be the final decision maker about which way this team's going to go. Light might want to go one way. Arians might want to go their way. They think they know enough football. I think that's an open question at this point, considering the last 11 years of this franchise. But in their minds, they know enough football to chart the course for this franchise. And by that, I mean at 2-5, we're doing a sell-off. And we're going to listen to offers to O.J. Howard and others. Jason Light may not want to do it. And Arians, that's where they're going to step in and decide what this team's going to do.
You sort of sound like what my dad would say. My dad would always say...
They're paying the freight.
My dad would say, rhetorically, you ever hear of the golden rule? No. Them who has the gold rules. There was a story earlier this week that supposedly Florida State representatives contacted Willie Taggart's agent, the all-powerful Jimmy Sexton, to gauge what a buyout would be, if they can get a deal on a buyout or whatever. And that got some news. And the podcast I'm listening to, one of the guys is a lawyer, and he was saying, this happens all the time. It may be news to a lot of people. He goes, this happens all the time, even when things are going good, just so they can, you know, if they do decide to pull a trigger, whatever school that may be, Clemson, Florida State, Texas, you name it, it will grease the wheels to speed up the process. In other words, they're doing their homework. Could you see the same thing going on with the Glazers? That maybe already behind the scenes, they're trying to come up with a contingency plan, pro or con, sell or trade, whether they should keep Arians, whether they should keep Bowles, whether they should move on. Or you think they've already spoken with their people within league circles, just in case, whatever they want to do, that they've already have contingency plans?
I would be very surprised if Arians leaves not on his own volition. That's the scenario that would really surprise me. That if he wanted to stay, they make a move anyway. First of all, they've never done it after 1 year. They've never done it after 1 year.
Which sort of says they're going to do it.
And I think they would lose faith in the talent of the roster before they'd lose faith in Arians' coaching ability. That's just my sense. Mm-hmm. What it would mean for Jason Light, who the heck knows, because of his relationship with Arians, mm-hmm. that's a fly in the ointment if you wanted to dump Light. I don't think paying Light the next 3 or 4 years of his contract would stop the Glazers from firing him. I don't think that would be the issue.
And to be fair, we don't know the details of that contract. For all we know, it's a series of 5 1-year contracts. You know, the Glazers have never put out a press release detailing the contract. So we can only speculate. The only people who know about that contract are Light, Light's wife, and Arians. And, of course, the Glazers. What I was asking is, do you think the Glazers have a plan, either way, how to proceed, win or lose? Have they already spoken with their inner circle within the NFL? Do they already have a plan in place, no matter what happens Sunday?
Well, I think the two-game slide triggered that plan. Yeah. They've spent the last couple of weeks figuring out where this team stands and realizing that they're standing at the crossroads. That's the old Robert Johnson blues song that Cream memorialized with. Yeah, you know what? You know me with music and classic rock. Guys, go back and listen to Cream, the live version of Crossroads, 1968. I believe it was at the Fillmore West or whatever. That is the greatest live blues recording you're ever going to hear.
At the Fillmore?
Eric's solos are off the charts. Now we get back to, we go from Clapton to Brian Glazer. It's quite a move, and here we go. But yes, your instincts are right. They're thinking about this a lot. They're having a lot of conversations, and maybe conversations outside of the people that work at One Buck.
That's what I mean, yeah.
They do have people they bounce ideas off. They are going to be the final arbiters of which way this team goes. And again, that's why this game, which we are about to announce our picks.
Oh, that's right,
Mr. DeKemper. That's why this game looms as so critical.
Now, is Coach Combs influencing your pick at all?
Everybody's influence. I've heard from so many Buck fans, stop picking the Bucks, Kaufman. You're a jinx. And now I yield to Buck Nation because I'm going first. And right now I'm going to say yes. The home team wins this game, even though Arians is strong off the bye week. I can't have Javier and Combs and Scott and all these people screaming.
Lou and Port Richie?
All of them screaming that I am the ultimate jinx.
Outlaw.
So, outlaw. They're unanimous. It's unanimously. I yield to public opinion, and I go with the Titans in a defensive struggle.
Oh.
But close. 20-16. Home team wins. Bucks slide to 2-5. Take that, Javier.
The Bucks in a defensive struggle. Who would have thunk?
How do you like that?
I will say the Bucks in a shootout.
Whoa!
Very similar to what happened in Los Angeles, the City of Angels. Not that crazy.
I just told you the Titans haven't given up more than 20 points to anybody.
That goes out the window this Sunday. I say the Bucks win 40-30 because, unfortunately, Jameis knows that if he doesn't put up 40 points, he's going to lose.
Wow. And so we will get his bits, right? You know, He'll chime in. Lee, by the time we meet next week, a day or two after the game, we're gonna know where this franchise stands this year. Both bad and good. Attention, Buck fans. All my friends at Bill Curry Ford have a huge buyback sale going on right now through Monday, October 28th. They're buying cars up to $4,000 over Kelley Blue Book value.
How much, Ira?
$4,000. That's great value for your trade-in. Get shopping now at BillCurryFord.com or at the dealership, just a punt north of the stadium on Dale Mavery. Remember, huge buyback sale ends Monday. And don't forget, the Bill Curry Ford nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford.